Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be.
God, our Father, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather today to hear of your steadfast love because we put our trust in you. Come among us by your Spirit, make your word known to us, and teach us the way we should go. For to you do we lift up our soul, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The hymn of adoration is 271, Saint Choirs of New Jerusalem. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and evil, and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart. Let us pray our prayer of confession. Most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge before you our sinful nature, which is prone to evil and slow to do good, as well as to confess all our shortcomings and offenses. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. We are ashamed and sorry for all wherein we have displeased you. Teach us to hate our errors, cleanse us from our secret faults, and forgive our sins for the sake of your dear Son. Help us to live in your light and walk in your ways according to the commandments of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Hear now the good news of the Gospel, the declaration of our pardon. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear the good news. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I declare to you now, in the name of Jesus Christ, as a minister of His Gospel, that all those who have faith in Him and repent of their sin are truly forgiven. And let us say together, Praise
be to God.
Holy ones in Christ, you've been taught to love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's what the Scriptures teach us. Jesus confirmed it. And to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, as the apostles teach us, particularly Paul, that we may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, and to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So then, we are to submit our minds to God's revelation in Jesus Christ. We subject our cherished thoughts and our beliefs, our ideas, we subject all of these to His revelation, all of them, even our Christian beliefs. We submit them to God's revelation in Jesus Christ, to His Word. This includes our beliefs about ourselves, our beliefs about our families and marriages, beliefs about this world, beliefs about politics, about our jobs, about each other. Even with the coronavirus, all of these things we submit to God's revelation in Jesus Christ, to His Word. This is not what we're accustomed to doing. Our faith, our beliefs, our convictions, all of them must be subjected. Not to a system, even though systems are helpful, but we need to remember that our systems of belief are subject to Christ as well. And not our common sense. Even our common sense must be subjected to Christ. What seems plain and obvious to us may not be submitted to Christ. And not our experiences. Our experiences don't take precedence over God's revelation in Jesus Christ and His Word. So we are to submit all of our thoughts, our ideas, all of these things, our beliefs, all of them are to be subjected to Christ. And what this means is that our beliefs our ideas will mature and be transformed and grow and sometimes be replaced. But this is a good thing. This is what the grace of God does for us, to set us firmly on Christ. For this is the will of God for us, and let us say,
Amen. Amen.
Our hymn is number 493, We Have Not Known Thee As We Ought. Let us now join our hearts and minds together to pray for those who are in need, for the church, for this world. Let us pray. Ever-living God, our Heavenly Father, you bless us with your life and you keep us in the land of the living. And even when we must face our death, you keep us in Christ. And so we thank you for this tremendous blessing that we have in Christ. We thank you for healing us from the sickness of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal Son, you have restored us to health, to a reconciled relationship with you and a righteous relationship with you. And you have blessed us with the riches of your kingdom. You have been faithful to us. Hear our prayers now that we make through Jesus Christ, who is the faithful one, whose intercession for us never ends. We ask you to mercifully hear us and grant that we who have been given a hearty desire to pray may, by your mighty aid, be defended and comforted in all dangers and troubles. Hear our prayers as we petition you for comfort in the dangers and troubles that we each know. Hear our prayers. O Lord of hosts, as you have made your church to share in the victory of Christ, so make your church across this world to be more than conquerors by standing firm in its faith in Jesus Christ and not collapsing into disbelief. We pray that you would bring peace to Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Venezuela, as these nations strive for order and good rule of government, even if those who rule in it right now resist these things. And we pray you would bring peace to our cities. By your grace, let your church rest in your abundant care, even if it is persecuted or mocked or outlawed, as it is in so many of these places. And we pray for the Christian communities in the Middle East and in China, North Korea, Egypt, Myanmar, and other countries where the church is so often attacked for the proclamation of Christ. Hear our prayers for your church in this world. Almighty Lord, though the nations rage, you utter your voice and the earth melts. As your word has gone forth into the world, may the nations be subdued as they hear the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And let men and women and children from every race and every tongue praise the name of Jesus. Hear our prayers. Bless the world with governments that bring peace and stability and justice to their lands. Grant our own governments and the governments of this world wisdom during the coronavirus crisis, that they may help make us safe, but not overstep their bounds. May our government promote tranquility and justice and humility under the order of your law that you have set forth in your creation. And in so doing, may we, your people, be able to live quietly following the way of our Savior Jesus Christ and loving our neighbors. Hear our prayers for those who lead us, our president, our congressmen and women, our governor, the Supreme Court. All of these, hear our prayers. Merciful Savior, attend to the proclamation of the gospel as it goes out, so that the deaf will hear and the blind see. May the ones who do not believe repent and receive by faith Jesus Christ. We pray for changes, a change in the hearts and minds of the people who are near and dear to us and others who we don't even know. For you are the Savior of the world, and so we pray for their salvation. Build up your church, make her strong in every place where your people have been gathered together. Hear our prayers for Grace Reformed Church in Indiana and their pastor Matthew Barker, also Everett Hennis in Hillsdale, and the church there. We also pray for the Christians in Uganda and Ethiopia, and our missionaries who serve there. Especially, we pray for Tony Curto and David Robbins, Charles Jackson, and their families. Hear our prayers. O gracious Lord, we ourselves have no life apart from you. We praise you for the abundant life that is in Jesus Christ. And we remember that at this time of the year when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And that carries us through the rest of the year. Grant us the saving help each one of us needs in whatever our condition to love you and serve you. Hear our prayers for those who are faced with physical and spiritual needs. For Emily and Anna, Jill Collier, Hannah Wilson, who are pregnant, we pray that their health would be kept strong, and their babies would develop and be delivered with good care and with no complications. We pray for Eduardo and Terry, Caleb, Fawn, Leah, Jeff, and our friends Scott and Becky and Karen, Lori, Tish, Mrs. Mesner. We remember the Bratcher family and the loss of loved ones in that family. And others we name to you now in silence. May the gospel of Christ continue to be effective and add more people to this church, to Providence Church, where they may grow, live and grow in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, that they may also grow in faith and the ministry of the Word together with us. To you we pray, our Father, in the unity of the Spirit, through Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We do give thanks for how God has blessed us and the material things that we can share with one another. I would encourage the church to remember that there are needs, and they're beginning to surface needs of various members in the church who are running short on money. So if you want to give to the church, I know people have been sending their checks into the trustees and treasurer, but you could also mark a check for the diaconal fund if you're so inclined. But remember that there are these needs in the church. Let us now pray our prayer of the offering prayer in the bulletin. O Lord our God, the author and giver of all good things, we thank you for all your mercies and for your loving care over all your creatures. We bless you for the gift of life and for your protection round about us, for your guiding hand upon us. In all these things, O Heavenly Father, make us wise for a right use of your benefits, that we may render an acceptable thanksgiving unto you all the days of our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We come now to the reading and preaching of God's Word. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. to receive it. Silence in us our own demands and presumptions, that hearing your word read and preached, we may thereby obey your will and have our faith set firmly on Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and then moving to verses 36 through 41. Listen now to the word of God. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Our Psalter response is Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord.
Our epistle reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, and who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus will take something away from you. We're aware of loss right now in this current crisis. I read a story about a woman who had the coronavirus. She recovered and wanted to donate plasma to help other people have the virus. That's been a significant way to help people. So she went to the donation center, and after she was tested, found out that even though she recovered, she is still COVID positive. Therefore, she was not allowed to donate her plasma. She had lost the ability to give something vital to help sick people. And this has been a common problem. There are other losses. Some of those who become ill with the coronavirus do not have the same sense of smell after their illness. There's a deficit in their olfactory sense. The COVID virus takes something away. So there's also loss with Jesus. Jesus does not just give to us, he takes something away. Something is deeply rooted in us. Something with a strong gravity holding our beliefs and actions and ideas together. It happens to all of us who follow Christ. You know, every year I'm struck, as I'm sure you are, by the reports of people who have suffered catastrophic loss. And this year it's the coronavirus, but 1 year ago, almost to the day, just a matter of a week or so ago, in April, a year ago, it was the Missouri River that flooded, and the result was massive, and it was all along through Iowa and Nebraska into Kansas. This horrific result from the Missouri River flooding. And there were pictures of people who were standing in front of their homes, which were dilapidated and soaked with water. There were photos of farmers looking from their tractors onto their fields that were kind of covered, flooded in water. There were people standing beside huge piles of shirts and pants and TVs and tables and chairs and boxes and mattresses, all ruined in the flood. And I saw men and women walking about, dazed, at a loss, not sure what to do. You could see them in the news reports. Their life was in shambles. They had lost their home. Our hearts went out to them. But it is also a very good illustration of what Jesus does with us. Jesus Christ takes something away from us and we're discombobulated. We are Christians who are at a loss. We're not sure how to respond. This is how I picture those two who were walking along the road heading out of Jerusalem. They could not make sense of what had happened to Jesus. They could not make sense of what had happened to his disciples and that band of followers. These two were not having a plenary session like you might have in college or in a school or on Zoom or some platform like that where you break out and have a little discussion about whatever the topic was. That's not what was happening there. They were not having a plenary session about Jesus. Their hearts and minds were broken up. They were dazed and bewildered and were trying to make sense of it all. And we hear Jesus speaking of loss in the Gospels when he walked along with his disciples during his ministry. He talked about loss even before this story in the Gospel of Luke. He said, for example, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Well, denying yourself is a loss. He told his disciples, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake, and there we have loss. You must relinquish your treasures on earth. He said that on more than one occasion. Jesus said it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. But there's something else, something more powerful that Jesus will take away from you as you travel along with him. It's something that we hold on to tightly, unwilling or unable to let it go. And it's set deep in our hearts and minds like the roots of a tree, and we cannot just toss it aside. It's not the loss of an immoral, self-centered life, although Jesus will take that away from you. And it's not the loss of guilt and pride, although Jesus will also take that away from you. It's more than your selfishness and self-righteousness. What you will lose are your very own assumptions and presumptions and presuppositions about Jesus. In our gospel lesson, the two were walking along the road discussing and pondering all the things that had just happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. These two were not bystanders from the crowds who had gathered around Jesus. These two were not active members of the Pharisee or Sadducee parties. These two were not Gentiles who had come to visit the city. They were disciples of Jesus, and they had been with the company of the apostles. They had been up front and center in Jesus' ministry. They had been with Jesus from the beginning to the end. These two had seen Jesus heal the sick and the demon-possessed. They had witnessed his grand entrance into Jerusalem, and they had seen him upset the temple merchants. They had seen him debate and counter the Pharisees. They were around when he was arrested. They had watched the Roman soldiers nail Jesus to the cross and hang him up to die an agonizing, shameful death. They had heard the reports from the women and Peter at the empty tomb and that Jesus was alive. They knew all these things. They could tell you all about them. And that is exactly what they did when Jesus, unknown to them, approached and joined the two as they walked along the road together, talking and pondering what had happened. When Jesus asked, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" they confessed. If you look through their answer, it has the essentials of the faith that we confess. Jesus of Nazareth, who was appointed by the Spirit and mighty in deed and word before God and man, who was delivered up to death, who was crucified, and who on the third day was raised to life. These are all the basic things that we confess as Christians. They knew the essential Christian faith. They confessed it, just like you do. But they did not recognize the crucified and risen Lord who was standing right there beside them. They did not recognize the visitor who had come up alongside them as the living Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they had a childish faith. I didn't say childlike, childish faith. An understanding of Jesus that was wrapped around their settled expectations for Jesus. Settled deep in their hearts and minds like silt that is settled at the bottom of a lake. And when you stir it all up, the silt clouds the water and swirls around. When you leave it alone, the silt does not disappear. It settles back down to the bottom and sits there. But for the two disciples who walked along the road with the Lord, discussing and talking about what had happened, the silt was all stirred up. In the middle of their confession of faith, or their passing the basic events of what happened to Christ, passing them on to this stranger, in the middle of all that was their expectation of Jesus. It says, the scripture says, that we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They already knew what to expect of Jesus, or so they thought. Jesus was the one who was supposed to be the hero of Israel. The one who would straighten everything out, the one who would make everything right with Israel. Jesus was supposed to be the knight in shining armor who came rushing in to rescue those in distress. The disciples, you see, had their settled expectations for Jesus. They know what God needed to do. It was just a matter of when and how. And they had it all figured out, or so they thought. They had their assumptions, presumptions, and presuppositions about Jesus. The trouble was that Jesus did not fit those assumptions and presumptions, like a square peg going into a round hole. Jesus had suffered and died a shameful death on the cross, and that did not fit. The Savior was supposed to come and help them, not suffer and die. Weakness and suffering and death were not part of how they saw Jesus delivering them. Their illusions about Jesus were so strong that they could not recognize him when he was right there walking along beside them. Jesus had shattered their assumptions. Their hopes and expectations for Jesus lay all around their feet like a broken glass. And they were trying to pick up the pieces and glue them back together again, but it was not working. Desperately, they gathered up the cherished pieces of their ideas about Jesus, but they couldn't reassemble them. Jesus had irreparably broken their presuppositions. Jesus had knocked the wind out of their heart and soul, and they were dazed and bewildered. Our Savior, however, is not some kind of a vandal who shatters and wrecks our illusions of him and then runs away and hides. Jesus is not like the COVID virus that takes away and gives nothing. Jesus came to his disciples, and when they did not recognize him, he took away their illusions. When he came to them, their assumptions and presuppositions were shattered, but he also spoke to them. And he spoke to them with the scriptures. O foolish men, or the text says, O foolish men, and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. With the scriptures, Jesus reformed their perception of him. He showed them how the scriptures pointed to him. He did not use their own assumptions and presuppositions and convictions to do this. Who Jesus is and what he did cannot be rightly interpreted or understood with our own expectations and ideas. Jesus spoke to them with the scriptures, and he came to the table with them. Jesus traveled on with them into the village, and he joined them in the meal. And it's there that Jesus performed a miracle. The scripture says, when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. It was the miracle of giving them faith in him, faith to recognize the real living Jesus. Jesus miraculously gave them responsive hearts instead of slow hearts. Jesus robbed the disciples of their ideas and assumptions of him, and he gave them faith to recognize him as the risen, living Jesus who suffered and died on the cross and is our Savior. Jesus will not let you keep your illusions of him. Those expectations and beliefs about Jesus that are simply the concoctions of our world or our belief systems and the creations of our hearts and minds. For example, the illusion of a Jesus who does not require anything of us. Jesus who, the idea that Jesus is one who would let us just be who we want to be. I call this the pat you on the back Jesus. It's a very popular Jesus. People look for him all the time. It's the Jesus who shows up when Christians are told they must walk a different path than the rest of the world. When we hear that we are to love our neighbors ourselves, and that includes our husbands and our wives, or when we must confess our sin and ask forgiveness of someone, or when we hear that we are to be the body of Christ, sharing our lives together and helping each other. Or there's the idea of a golden Jesus, the illusion that Jesus is supposed to give us everything we want. I heard a Christian pastor argue in an interview that when Jesus lived on this earth, he was not poor, but he was wealthy. Jesus was a rich man, and he will make us rich the same way. That was the argument that was being made. A Jesus who amassed a fortune and acquired all the things he wanted. The assumption is that he would give to us this kind of life. This is the Jesus people look for when they do not want to give up their money, their house, or their possessions. Or, in the opposite way, those who do not have anything, but want to have a life that's filled with all these kinds of rich, lucrative things, then there's an expectation that Jesus would be the one to give them to you. There's the idea of the new world Jesus, the Jesus who will give us the world with peace among the nations, evenly distributed wealth, harmony with the environment, and all of that without the cross. Jesus who beautifully restores the world without any concern for our sin. The illusion of a Jesus who reveals to us a bright, shiny world just helping it grow up and mature into its potential. But not a Jesus who bears the sin of the world and reconciles us to God. And lastly, there's the categorical Jesus, the Jesus who must fit nice and neat into our faith categories. Categories like Jesus does not heal people anymore, or another category that he can't be at work in a church with different theology from us. This is a Jesus who must conform to our systems. Well, these are illusions of Jesus, and he will rob you of yours. They are the beliefs and assumptions we create. And they might have a nice Christian ring to them, but still are not true to who he is. They're not real. They're more like mirages of Jesus that we think we see, but are not really there. They're dead and cold. The Jesus of our illusions cannot reconcile us with God. That one cannot cleanse you. The Jesus of our illusions cannot cleanse you of your sin. Such a Jesus cannot lead you along the path of the cross, which leads to the new life of God. The Jesus of your assumptions and preset definitions is one who cannot change you so that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Robbed of your illusions, you may have the wind knocked out of you, and this might happen at different times in your life. The illusions we have are powerful. They grip us tightly. We hold on to them. So you may be dazed and bewildered for a while. Jesus will rob you of your illusions, but then he will open your eyes so that you will truly recognize him. You will recognize the Jesus who is taught to us in the Bible. You will recognize the living Lord who suffered and died. You will recognize the Lord who came to serve us and who makes us his servants in this world. You will recognize the risen Jesus who bears our sin in order to deliver the world from death and destruction and so make a beautiful new world. You will recognize the living Jesus who loves and forgives us so that we can love and forgive one another. And you will recognize the living Jesus who came in humility and makes us humble so that we regard others as better than ourselves. Jesus opens our eyes with the reading and the preaching of Scripture. And there he speaks to us and shows us how he fulfills the promises of God. And Jesus gives us faith with Holy Communion. A miracle occurs when we commune with Jesus at the table. He joins us at the table by his Spirit, and he gives us a heart responsive to him. And there we celebrate his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. And there we recognize him as the living Lord who suffered on the cross and died and was raised. How I miss meeting our Lord at the communion table, don't you? In the preaching of the word and the communion meal again and again, the risen Lord makes himself known to us and our eyes are opened and we recognize him. Is Jesus robbing you of your assumptions of him and expectations for him? Are you walking along with the wind knocked out of your heart and soul? Do you recognize the risen, living Jesus present with us? Well, no matter what, listen to the scriptures and the preaching of the word, and may we return to the communion table where the Lord performs the miracle of opening your eyes so that you may truly recognize Him. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son makes Himself known to His disciples in the breaking of the bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold Him in all His redeeming work, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us confess our faith with the Creed, the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He shall come again with the glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our hymn here is number 146, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to me. As Thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, throughout the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit stands for Thee, O living Word. Bless Thou the truth, dear Lord, to me. As Thou didst bless the bread of Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me, and live with Thee above. Teach me to love Thy truth, for Thou art love. O, send Thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that He may touch mine eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within Thy word, and
pray together the prayer of thanksgiving.
Most holy and majestic Father, we give you thanks for sending your only begotten Son, in whom your holiness dwells, to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. Revealing your salvation, Jesus taught those who would hear him, healed those who believed in him, received all who seek him, and lifted the burden of their sin. We glorify you for your great power and grace at work in Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new people by water and the Spirit. We offer our thanksgiving to you for Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns both now and forever. Amen.
The final hymn is number 391, Join All the Glorious Names. Now receive the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you always, now and forever. Amen.
Go to the world in peace. Be of good courage, armed with heavenly grace. In God's good spirit, daily to increase, till in the kingdom we behold his face.